Exciting news. Gettle is now the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
Coast to coast, nonstop action. This is the premier source for National Hockey League news, scores, highlights, and the Anaheim Ducks. It's time to light the lamp with Alexis Downey.
Welcome in to Light the Lamp. I'm very excited today to be joined by someone who has been a bit busy over the last 2 weeks, finally getting home, getting settled, but the play-by-play voice for the PWHL Finals, Kenzie Lalonde. Thank you so much for taking the time. How are you doing today?
Well, yeah, it was a good point there. I have a lot of laundry to do right now. I got in from Minnesota yesterday after doing the finals there. So 2 weeks on the road and a lot of laundry and a lot of cleaning. I think I have to do quite a few dust bunnies in my apartment. But again, that's a tomorrow thing. Today is very much relaxing and soaking in, which was an incredible finals.
You were a part of the history that was made the inaugural year of the PWHL, coming down to the wire, Minnesota and Boston in the finals there, getting to see the victory, being a part of it all. I mean, how can you describe the experience?
It's remarkable. I think I take a step back right before that game started. We were in Boston, so you have to think for Minnesota, enemy territory. That was a very loud crowd, but I kind of just looked around, took a moment before we went to air, and just soaked it in. I remember covering, which was the PWHPA, the Players Ran Association, before the PWHL started. And I had done play-by-play for their showcase events from Truro, Nova Scotia to Washington, D.C., you know, and a lot of cities in between. And to think of where it came and where it is now, I kind of had that opportunity to reflect. I have a feeling not a lot of those athletes had much of an opportunity to reflect with it being such a quick turnaround to game five. Mm-hmm. But it was very much a celebration. Like, I think it was fitting that it went to a game five because the season was so neck and neck. When you look at the standings and the teams, it always came down to the wire. So I think it was so fitting to have a game five. And we knew at the end of the day, the Walter Cup was going to be hoisted. And it was just a matter of who was going to be the one to make history and let that happen. But it really felt like just a greater celebration of what this league accomplished, what the future of the women's game looks like, and also just a celebration of where we're at with women's sport right now. Fans have an appetite for it. Fans want more. And it was just kind of a great night to celebrate all that.
You talk about the fans. What was the atmosphere like in those final moments before, you know, the clock hit zero and Minnesota won?
There were cheers. Like I kind of said, they were in enemy territory. Mm-hmm. So we were interested to see as the game went on how that was going to pay out. But it was pretty remarkable. You see, you know, to have Kendall Coyne Schofield, the captain of Minnesota, who has been a pioneer to make this league possible, score a goal in that game was so fitting and a perfect finish for this season. And as the players were celebrating and helmets were coming off, the crowd took a time to thank Boston. The fans got a chance to say thank you so much to that team. They had their Aaron Franco goaltender chants going, and they all rallied with a cheer of thank you, Boston. And they took quite a few minutes to honor Boston and the year they had and what a great push they had. And so this was a loud crowd, a passionate crowd, but you couldn't have asked for a better finish for a team like Minnesota, one that was not really in the conversation to be in playoff contention with the way they had a struggle after the international break. They did not win a game after coming back from the Women's World's break. So they were able to redeem themselves, not once, but twice. And to have someone again like Kendall Coyne Schofield hoist that trophy for the first time was picture perfect.
I was going to ask just how significant it was to see her be the first person in history to hoist the Walter Cup. Truly, so full circle, I'm sure, for her as well.
Yeah, right before that morning, each team has a morning skate. And so I had a chance to just quickly speak with her first to talk about how did she compose herself after game four when they thought they won the championship, but the goal was called back? And she had said she's been in a situation like that before. You go back to the 2019 Women's World Championship, Finland and the United States in that gold medal game had a very similar situation. So she kind of chuckled and she's like, I'm kind of used to that situation now. She's in a weird way normalized a heroic moment coming down to a goal review. But she had also mentioned on her bus ride in that morning, she was reflecting on her first ever PWHPA showcase event. It was just down the street in New Hampshire. And she said she remembered getting there early at like 8 or 9 a.m., unpacking boxes, getting the water bottles out on the bench for their first ever showcase event. And so she thought, you know, what a crazy 5 years had been to now have a chance to hoist that trophy. So she was having a very reflective moment all day. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to see her. My tears started flowing when she hoisted that trophy. Aww. And she's all smiles. And in a way too, the way the trophy is constructed, the Stanley Cup really does have a counterpart now. You have a salt and pepper. You have the Stanley Cup and the Walter Cup when I look at the construction of it, but the way she held it over her head, just the length of it, to me, it was so familiar to a Stanley Cup. And I kind of had that like, oh, wow, now women's hockey has its Stanley Cup as well. And it's only the beginning. And to see her hoist it really was an emotional moment, I think, for women's hockey fans, but also sport fans, to see someone who's been so ingrained in the process get be rewarded in that moment was pretty special.
Truly a beautiful trophy it is. When was the first time that you got the chance to see it?
With everybody else. We asked, trust me. We try to use our connections and see if we could kind of peek of it and everything. Mm-hmm. But no, what was quite remarkable is fans, media, everybody's first look was together. Mm-hmm. When they unboxed the blue box, the Tiffany & Co. box, and it came out, and you had the conjunction of the Hockey Hall of Fame holders to present that trophy. It was beautiful. It's huge. I love the underlying meaning to it all. It's held up by two hockey sticks. The base is reflective of shattering glass. And you have the cup that has six W's all around it to signify the six original teams. So there's great meaning behind it. The size of it's amazing. It's 35 pounds. It looks like it's got some weight to it. But it was perfect to see Minnesota hoist it and history in the making, really.
And I'm sure a very, as you mentioned, emotional moment for you too in the booth with Cheryl as well. I saw that picture of you two hugging each other in your purple blazers. I loved that. How was it calling the games with her?
Yeah, she is my best friend, my big sister, if you will. One of our good friends took that photo. We didn't know. He showed us afterwards. He's like, wow, this is an emotional photo. And it's true. Cheryl started to get a little teary-eyed, so I consoled her. And then we're both just standing there hugging each other, crying at what was a beautiful moment for the women's game. She is remarkable. I think we both have a lot of fun in the booth. We love what we do, but I think our biggest joy in this season was we had a chance to just talk hockey. Mm-hmm. You know, for a while we were doing the World Championship rivalry series consistently on a weekly basis. We got to talk hockey. We got to talk power play. We got to talk what's working, what's not working. And I think for a lot of hockey fans, that's where we're at now. We can just speak the game and break it down. And that's all we want to do. And so we love to showcase viewers, the behind the scenes of it all. And also, of course, break down these talented athletes. And it's always a treat to call games with her. It's never a dull moment. And to think that was, you know, the first 24 regular season games, a championship under our belt, and it's just the beginning.
And just a reminder that we have exciting news. Gettle is now the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L, we make comfort easy to spell. On the end of hockey, going into the finals, the matchup between the two teams, what was your thoughts on just how it could play out just heading into that final series?
It really felt like a clean slate. I think if you were to ask me a month ago as well, if I pictured Boston and Minnesota in the final, I'd say no. I really thought it was going to be Toronto, Montreal, maybe Boston. But I did not anticipate Minnesota to beat Toronto in a reverse sweep at that. It was really in great fashion. So when we came into that final series, game one, coming it down the wire again, Boston's depth in the scoring department led them yet again. So the storyline really continued for them. But for me, it was very much, how much gas do these athletes have left in the tank? This is a lot of hockey. This is the first time they're playing this amount of hockey. Mm-hmm. And you look at the overtimes Boston had to deal with to get to that point. I figured fatigue was going to roll into it. I think it did towards the end of it. This was a banged up team that plays physical hockey. And I just felt like they ran out of steam towards the end. And for Minnesota, they were really just picking up in terms of their momentum to come off such a great run against Toronto to punch their ticket there. If you want to talk momentum, I really felt like neither team really had that going into game one. And then as the series played out, after that three-nothing win game two, Minnesota won. I felt like they kind of had the edge going into it. But after that wild game four finish where you thought Minnesota won it all and they did not, Boston scored just a minute later to keep the series going. As we head into game five, I really felt like it was a blank slate and I had no idea who was going to win that game. It really felt like a fresh sheet of ice.
In talking about that game four, calling that moment in overtime, the double overtime, I mean, but what was that like just watching how it all played out?
Yeah. So Jake's, you know, Taylor Heisey was almost a 2-on-1 for Minnesota. Great drive by Heisey at wide. She feeds it out in front. Jake's taps it in and I call it like a Sophie Jake's goal. That I thought was it. And then you see them celebrating, but I immediately saw the officials gather in center ice. And so we have the ability to talk to our producers who have a connection with the timeout coordinators. And we're like, what's going on? Are they reviewing this? And it took time. We saw Hillary Knight speak with the captains as well. And so then after a few seconds, we were thinking, oh, yeah, this might be goaltender interference. And you just talk through what you're seeing and try and do your best at informing the viewers of what may or may not be going on. But you just my heart was so heavy for Minnesota, for Jake's. You know, you've got helmets off and you have sticks on the ice. And now you have to put all that back on and go back to work and how hard that can be mentally. You know, we talk a lot about athletes at the best peak of their game, they're physically fit. They're so good at what they do on the ice, but you forget how strong they are mentally. You have to be an elite level mental athlete as well. And they were challenged in that moment. And I really felt Boston was given a second chance. They were dialed in and they found a way. That's what head coach Courtney Kessel told us, that the second that goal got called back, there was just this ingrained confidence amongst Boston that they were going to win this. And sure enough, Alina Mueller puts it in and they do in fact win that game. But it was one of the most wild moments I've had on air, that's for sure.
And then you go to the final game, game five. And for Minnesota, goaltender Nicole Hensley has a shutout, you know, and what a way to close out the season. But for her, I mean, how important was she through the playoffs for that team?
Yeah, I think for Minnesota, they always had an extra, an edge, if you will, on other teams because they had a two-goalie tandem ship in Maddie Rudy and Nicole Hensley, whereas other teams were one and done. You look at Toronto, Kristen Campbell was their starter. Ottawa, Emerence Maschmeyer was their starter. Minnesota always had a 1-2 punch, and it really played well for them in the finals. Maddie Rooney did well against Toronto. They gave her game one. And then it was really a shift. I think both goaltenders got tested in that. Aaron Frankel as well. And so Ken Klee, the head coach of Minnesota, can deploy his other goaltender. And she took that moment and ran with it. You know, it was quite emotional as well. That morning before game five, I had friends that drove in from Halifax, Nova Scotia to Boston. So that's about 10 hours. And one of the young girls, she's 8 years old. She's an aspiring goaltender. And she was doing the fist bumps as all of Minnesota was walking off of their morning skate. And she fist bumped Nicole Hensley. And Nicole leans over. She's like, you want to be a goalie? She's like, yeah, I do. And Nicole's like, wait right there. Walks back to her locker room, comes back out with a brand new CCM stick. It says Nicole Hensley on it. And she gives it to her.
Oh, wow. That's so special.
It was so special. She was so stunned. Mm-hmm. She couldn't believe it. She didn't know what to do with it. She's like, really? I'm going to keep it? Nicole's like, yeah, like, it's a remarkable position. You're going to love it. Just keep at it. And, you know, that's the morning before one of her biggest games of her career. And she's continuing to inspire the next generation. It was such a special moment. And for her to get rewarded in such a big game, have such a a strong performance, get that shutout. I think for her, it will be a game she won't forget.
A moment like that, being able to witness something like that, seeing how impactful this league has been to the next generation of whether it's young girls or young boys, even in hockey. I mean, knowing where it's trending, how special is it for you to see that as also a former hockey player yourself?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I think of back when I played, my God, I have no gold medals or anything to my name. I was not on the national team, but I played at university and I always knew my time was done. I knew after college I was going to have to get a job and enter the real world. But I always think back now that there's a pro league, if I would have approached the game differently, if I knew that there was a professional league, would I chase that? I would think yes. And so I'm just so excited for what's to come. And, you know, even being a broadcaster, someone in media, like I'm trying to open up the doors and inspire young girls to do play by play, because not a lot of women do that role. And if they can learn the intricacies of how it works and how sports media works, maybe they'd want to get involved. So I just think it opens the door, not only for the athletes on the ice, for business managers, for staff personnel, to do what they love and put their passion behind a female product. I think that's kind of what this league does, is it opens doors for not only the athletes, but also for just for people that want to put a great product in front of viewership and watch history unfold.
You bring up a good point there too. I mean, not a lot of women in the play-by-play role, and you've been a trailblazer in that role, you know, for a number of years now. But where does being a part of an event like this, the finals for the PWHL, rank in some of your moments over the last couple years of your career as you've been growing?
Yeah. Oh, it's at the top, like without a doubt.
Yeah.
It sits right there. I think calling it alongside Cheryl Pounder was really special. What we've accomplished over the years, how many games we've done. Someone asked that the other day. They asked, how many games do you think we've done? And my goodness, I don't know. We can't even count at this point. It's been a lot, but I think I know for me personally, that was certainly the most rewarding. And it's up there with also the Beijing Olympics. I was there as a reporter and having a chance to interview the athletes immediately after Team Canada won, and speaking with Marie-Philippe Poulin after such a strong game and Olympic Games that was so unique. You know, they did not have friends and families there. There wasn't as much media. We really were the pulse on the sport, on the moment for Canada back home. And so to kind of be that bridge in such a big moment was also pretty cool. But I think I'm keeping my notes from that game. They're chaotic and they're crazy, but I think I'll want to frame them as just kind of like a game I won't want to forget. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Taylor Heise, you mentioned her a little bit earlier, but she wins the MVP. At this point, a little over a year that she's had, ending now with a Walter Cup in her hands. But what can you say about her performance in the playoffs and just how she's been for Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. We started the PWHL talking about Taylor Heise being the first overall draft pick. You know, Minnesota's got to take her. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. She was all the buzz. And then here we are ending the season and she's all the buzz. She does it again. She rises to the occasion to be the Alana Claus playoff MVP, which is deserving. You know, that game 5, she stepped up, she got a huge power play goal, and Minnesota's special teams were not the best. I mean, neither Boston or Minnesota in that finals is able to score a power play goal. It's a very unique, strange statistic. Mm-hmm. But she did find a way in game 5 when it was all on the line to step up and elevate her game. And that very much carried over into the finals. Her and Michaela Cava combined for an incredible point production in the finals. They were the difference makers for Minnesota. So in my opinion, very deserving. And to think this is just her first season. We look at the incoming draft class for next year, another great volume of college graduates. And it'll be so exciting to see how they blend into this style of game, because it is physical. You have to be able to find your lane to the net while getting a few bumps and bruises along the way. And I think for a lot of college players and even on the international scene, that physical game isn't quite there yet. So it is a different style of hockey. And I think for all players and recent college grads in particular, it's adjusting to that. Mm-hmm. And she did a good job as the year went on to adjust. Because let's remember, they only had 24 regular season games. You're looking at an NHL schedule that has 82, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like a quarter of the way into your season and you might find your footing, and here you are the end was near and maybe you just started going. And so she found her way as it went on. And I'm excited to see what she's got in store next year.
The upcoming draft, it's not too long from now. Also the awards as well. It's going to be in Minnesota. Have you thought about that? You know, both of those events coming up soon.
Oh yeah. I'll be there back in Minnesota. I go, I'm sure they've got that hotel. I'm sure I'll get the same hotel room. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be great. I do expect Sarah Filliet from Princeton University to go overall. I do expect New York to take her. It's such a great story. She played in Princeton, New Jersey area. She's an incredible athlete. I do think she'll go first overall, but you have another great lineup of strong college grads, women coming in from the SDHL that do play a physical style hockey. So my expectation for that is I'm curious to see if more European players, not necessarily European players, but athletes that played in the SDHL may be taken sooner just because that they have that familiarity of playing in a physical league. So I'm interested to follow that storyline. And then for the finalist awards, you know, you look at goaltenders of the year, mind you, it's all based on the regular season, but I do think Kristen Campbell is deserving of that award. If it could roll into playoffs, I would put Aaron Frankel right there as well. And Natalie Spooner had such a strong year. Here's a woman who gave birth not long ago and came back stronger than ever. And I think her and Kendall Coyne Schofield are such a great reminder that you can do it all. You don't just have to be a mom. You don't just have to be an athlete. You can be a pro hockey player, and that can just be part of your story. So I think Spooner's a heavy favorite there for forward of the year, and coach of the year, I think, is a great storyline as well. You look at head coach Troy Ryan with Toronto. He had so much familiarity with a lot of his athletes, just being the coach of the Canadian women's national team. And so I kind of picked, we had a TSN segment not long ago about who you expect to win. And I think Corey Chevry could take home some hardware there with Montreal. She had such a clean slate with these athletes, her first big gig as the number one top dog. And I think she ran with it. Selecting her team around her pillars of Marie-Philippe Poulin and Renee Desbiens and Laura Stacey. She did a really good job of finding some complementary pieces. So I could put Corey Chevry there for Coach of the Year.
Looking forward to those awards coming up soon. But Kenzie, for you, now that, I mean, you haven't been home that long, but if you had any time to reflect on the year it's been, maybe a moment that stands out to you. Obviously, I know the finals were such a big part of that, but anything from the PWHL season, this first inaugural season, that stands out to you that you're just always going to remember?
I think for me, I'm originally from Ottawa, Ontario, and when Ottawa was announced as one of the teams, I think a lot of fans were curious about that one, thinking, really, are we sure about this? And that fan atmosphere is next to none. I think they have the most passionate fan base. And I called my first ever game at TD Place Arena, where I grew up playing. So I think that significance of it being my hometown and being a part of that first season and calling that first game will always stick out to me. And I'm excited to just see the growth in that region in particular, where I started my hockey career, continue to evolve. And I think the team's going to be a big centerpiece for the region. And I think I'm just excited to keep tabs on that market to see how it continues to grow.
Looking forward to seeing how the fan bases also grow in, you know, going into next season. But one of the things that I think stood out for me was just seeing how accessible the games were and being able to watch on YouTube, something that's a little unique, but also bringing more eyes to women's hockey in general.
Yeah, YouTube for me was such a great idea and initiative by the league. It was brilliant. Accessibility is the biggest factor when you want to grow a league, grow a brand, and get exposure. And so, you know, the countless times I was somewhere else and I wanted to watch the game, I would just click on YouTube because it's right there and it's so easy. I was actually in Nashville on a girls' trip during the Toronto push with Minnesota, and we're walking Broadway and I'm like watching the game on YouTube. And so, you know, going to be more situations where fans can easily watch it because of that YouTube factor. And I think the chat room's also pretty fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go in there and have a great conversation with fans all around the world. So it's only just the beginning, and I can't wait to see what kind of numbers come out for next year.
Yeah, certainly looking forward to it as well. Kenzie, thank you so much for taking the time today. I hope that, you know, you get to your laundry now, relax this weekend before you got to head back to Minnesota for all the excitement ahead for the awards and the draft. But really appreciate you joining us today and great job on the finals call as well.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
And get your home cozy with Gettle Rejuvenation for just $129. We'll prep your HVAC for the season so you're ready to cheer on our Ducks. Call 866-671-9822 or visit Gettle.com/Ducks. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.